Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you making this podcast part of your day. Make sure you subscribe if you want more and leave us some feedback. Away we go.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth. B-F-F-T. From the PacWest Center in downtown Portland, presented by High Caliber Millwrights, here's John Canzano with a bald-faced truth.
We don't like filler on this show. You know how, like, I go get a carne asada burrito, and you ever order a burrito and then you unwrap it, and you take that first bite into that delicious carne asada burrito or carnitas burrito, and you realize that they've filled it with rice? It's just like a brick of rice. See, I call that filler. I don't want all that rice in the burrito. I want the burrito to be the burrito. Have the rice on the side. So in this radio show, I made a vow early on, like 15, 17 years ago, whenever it was we started this stupid thing. I decided that we were never going to have filler guests. I would rather have an open show sheet. And it's why every time we have a guest on, you should sit up in your chair and pay attention. This is the best person, most qualified person to talk about what we're going to talk about. And our next guest falls right in that. Nobody better covering UCLA than Ben Bulch of the Los Angeles Times. Does a hell of a job dealing with Chip Kelly. And he's joining us now. You are not filler. That's what I'm saying, Ben Bulch.
My new nickname is Ben Carnitas Bulch. I love it.
I love it. Hey, so you have some fun with Chip Kelly, don't you? I mean, there's a little sparring that goes back and forth. I noticed in the news conferences, it's you and him mostly.
Yeah, there's some good-natured ribbing and banter going back and forth. And I mean, certainly we've had our testy exchanges and kind of tense standoffs. But I think for the most part, there's mutual respect. We both know what we're trying to do on either side of the battle line there. And I think you hit the nail on the head right there.
How are they playing right now versus, you know, are they playing their best football more recently, or where is their best football?
Yeah, I think their best football was that LSU game, right, where they just were just smash mouth running the ball. But more importantly, they were playing really good defense, and they were getting a lot of pressure on the quarterback. And for some reason, ever since that game, even in the games they've won, they have not been able to get it back to that same level. And I think it's probably a combination of both better scouting from the opposing coaches and also just some guys getting worn down or nicked up. And Mitchell Agudé, their edge rusher, who's phenomenal, had four forced fumbles in the first two games, has really not been much of a factor at all ever since. So I think it's a combination of things, but you know, I'd say they're playing at a good level right now, but they really need to take it back to that LSU level to win Saturday. And the big X factor, I think, is quarterback Dorian Thompson-Robinson, because there are some games where he can be just phenomenal, and then there'll be some games where, like he was in the first half against Arizona a couple weeks ago, where he had fewer passing yards than an Arizona wide receiver who completed one pass on a trick play. So, you know, we've seen the highs and the lows from him. I think UCLA needs him to at least be steady, if not bringing out his best to win this game Saturday.
Game day will be there for Oregon-UCLA. How is UCLA preparing for game day?
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. I just spoke with one of the executive producers. Apparently Chip's going to be on the show, which shocked me that he would take time out. He's going to be on live at 7:30. And when I heard that, I almost fell out of my chair because, you know, Chip's so all business, especially on game day. But I noticed this week he's actually been in a great mood. He had one of his best, most lively, fun availabilities this morning. So I'm not quite sure what's going on there, but maybe he feels he's found a wrinkle or something here and feeling really confident. But, yeah, Chip's going to be on there. They should have. It's going to be on campus. If your listeners don't know, it's not going to be at the Rose Bowl. It's going to be on campus at UCLA, and that's an effort to really get the student turnout and pump up the energy as opposed to, you know, a venue 35 miles from campus where there's going to be nobody at 6 a.m. So I think that was a smart move. It should be an energetic and fun game day.
Yeah, special guest Chip Kelly, 7:30 in the morning. You're right. That is unusual. Like, he's not a guy that likes a lot of deviation from the plan.
Yeah, in fact, I made a point of asking him this morning. I said, well, like, you know, they stay in an on-campus hotel. So I was like, well, is the team going to be able to peek out the hotel or take a stroll over there? And he was, you know, emphatically saying, no, we're going to do our usual, you know, breakfast, shakeout, and roll out to the stadium at 9. But I guess the asterisk was he didn't say he wasn't going over there. He said the team wasn't. So he kind of left himself a little bit of an out there.
I think it's good for Chip Kelly to get out and do this stuff. How has his mood been this season? Because it feels like beginning with the LSU game, they turned a corner a little bit and maybe, you know, quieted some of the critics, but they haven't been perfect. But how is it going in general?
Yeah, you know, they had so much momentum after that LSU game, and, you know, it felt just like a completely different team and vibe. Chip brought back the Oregon visor, which, you know, we all made a big deal about early on, and seemed like he just had his mojo back. But then, you know, they fell flat against Fresno State. Then they had another big home game against Arizona State, fell flat. So it's been, ever since that LSU game, it's been kind of a roller coaster. You don't know, you know, what you're going to get from week to week, which is not, you know, let's be honest, that's not the sign of a really great team. So I think this is their moment right now to show that they are more of the team that beat LSU than the one that lost at home to Fresno State. I think this is really, you know, I don't want to overstate it, but I think this could be kind of a make-or-break game for Chip Kelly, beating a top-10 Oregon team. You know, that's just dripping with symbolism all the way around. Game's at the Rose Bowl. It's going to have the biggest spotlight of the day on it. If he wins this game, I think it puts him in really good position to get that contract extension he needs.
Ben Bulch, Los Angeles Times, with us. He covers UCLA. You mentioned Dorian Thompson-Robinson. Can you put a finger on, when he plays well, what is happening? What circumstances sort of surround him at his best?
Yeah, just, you know, not making head-scratching decisions like, you know, trying to cut outside on fourth and one when he could just bulldoze his way ahead for that, you know, easy yard or two. And then the turnover thing. He's had some games where the ball has just inexplicably slipped out of his hand even when he wasn't hit. It's happened multiple times in his career. And then the third thing is throwing on the run. You know, he's got a rocket arm. He can make the deep throw, but sometimes, you know, the 5 to 10 yard throw on the run, he gets a little amped up and overshoots guys, and it turns into an incompletion. So those are the three things I'd be looking for Saturday.
Oregon has been up and down, and generally they play a little better team, they play better. Ohio State, they play down to some other teams. I'm trying to figure out how much of that is just 19 and 20 year old kids. How much of that is, you know, you've got some kids that in that program, 4 and 5 star guys that maybe aren't jazzed about playing a game against Arizona or Stony Brook, you know. What do you see at UCLA? Do you get consistency in that group, or is there some up and down?
Well, I mean, I think the thing I will say for Chip Kelly, I think you get consistency of effort. I think the results are not always there. But I will say, you know, his businesslike demeanor really carries over to the players. If you listen to these interviews, they're basically parroting all of his mantras and, you know, cliches on a daily basis. So, you know, he really has ingrained it in these guys. And I've never seen a game where I'm like, wow, they just, you know, don't want to play or they don't want to be here today. You know, there've been a lot of execution errors. Maybe some scheme stuff that put him in a bad spot, but I never see kind of that crazy, you know, wow, they don't want to be here. And I think that's a credit to Chip.
Defensively, the pass defense at UCLA has been in question, maybe starting with the Fresno State game. Have they shored that up, or is it still a concern?
I would say it's definitely still a concern. Now, there's been a couple of factors there. They've had some safeties who've been hurt, particularly Quentin Lake, who's probably their best member of the secondary, the son of Carnell Lake. They had some games where Chip flat out admitted they gave up too big of cushions in the secondary, particularly that Fresno State game, where I'll never forget on the last play of the game where Fresno's at like the 20-yard line. They've got guys standing at the goal line and backpedaling when the ball snapped, which is just incredible. But they fixed some of that. You know, they played a little bit of bend, don't break against Arizona and, you know, won the game, even though it wasn't pretty. Last week they got a little bit more pressure, tighter coverage But yeah, it's definitely a concern. I mean, just look at the numbers, look at the number of yardage they've given up. And, you know, they really haven't faced, a top-flight quarterback since Jaden Daniels, and Jaden Daniels carved them up. So we'll see how that plays out Saturday.
This game, if I'm a UCLA fan, lines up nicely. Like, Oregon's pass offense with Anthony Brown has not been dynamic. UCLA has struggled against teams that can throw it. Oregon, has not been the same since the Ohio State game. How much anticipation for this game? For Duck fans, anytime it's Chip Kelly, it's a big game. But how much anticipation in the UCLA fan base, Ben?
Oh, huge. You know, a lot of people, I know this probably isn't a storyline up there, but a lot of people are going back down memory lane to the last time game day came to UCLA when it was at the Rose Bowl. It was 98 Oregon, UCLA, a phenomenal game that went to overtime. The thing that people always remember about that game is Cade McNown, UCLA's quarterback, vomited on the field right before play and then seemed to play incredibly well after that. So Pete, there's been a lot of discussion about that. Everybody here knows that, you know, as much as Oregon has kind of not lived up to what it did on the road against Ohio State early in the season, it's still, you know, legitimately a top 10 team and kind of the benchmark for the Pac-12. So I can't imagine more excitement for a game than, what we're going to see Saturday. I think it'll be a big crowd. I think people are excited. Last couple of games here have been at 7:30, and people just hate that. Yeah. So it's another reason for people to be excited here, and I expect a great turnout on Saturday.
UCLA coming over off a victory over Washington. It wasn't as convincing a win as I expected, but a win is a win right now in this conference. What did you think of Washington? Because Oregon will play them down the road here.
Yeah, the biggest head scratcher with them is they've got a really good running back in Pleasant, and they don't give him the ball enough. You know, every time he carried the ball, it felt like a big play, and UCLA really struggled to stop him. But the rotation was really head scratching to me. I think if they put him in as RB1 and get him, you know, the 20 to 25 carries and flip that rotation, I think that would be really good. Defensively, good, not great, not quite as good as I was expecting. They really struggle to stop the run. So I think that would be another huge factor in Oregon's favor.
All right, Ben Bulch, Los Angeles Times, I appreciate you. Do you have a prediction for the game? Have you made one yet?
No, you know, I hate sounding like a homer, but I just feel a lot of energy in UCLA's favor. I'm going to go UCLA 35-31.
There you go. Ben Bulch, LA Times. I'll see you in the press box, Ben. Thanks for your time.
Thanks so much, John. I appreciate it.
There he is. He's the best on UCLA. He's not Rice. No offense if you like Rice. I like Rice. I just don't like it in my burrito. It's filler. We don't do filler guests on this show. I can remember the first week we did the show, I had a producer who I think made it a month on the show who said, all right, we got to fill this spot and this spot and this spot, and started lining up guests. And I said, what are you doing? I said, we're not just going to fill the show up with people chattering. That's not what this show is going to be about. And I didn't know at the time that maybe the show would last a week or a month. So it's why when I want to talk UCLA, I get the best. Ben Bulch, the LA Times, nobody better on UCLA. He is the guy. And we want to talk about Oregon State? Hell, why not Jonathan Smith, head coach? Good guest today. Good guest tomorrow on that note. George Kliavkov, the Pac-12 commissioner, he's on tomorrow's show. And Dr. Stephen Piercy, who is the president at Portland State, is coming on the show. He's ending his silence, Dr. Piercy is. He was invited about 6 weeks ago on the show, turned it down at the time, apparently reconsidered, and is now coming on tomorrow's show. So tomorrow's going to be lively as well. Coming up next, Punch It Audio. It's the best sound from all around. Leave it right here. Really good stuff from Ben Bolch of the Los Angeles Times. If you missed any of that, grab the podcast of it. We're going to play Punch It Audio here. We're going to do a really good job playing Punch It Audio because I got all kinds of good sound that I think you need to hear. Let's do it.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald-Faced Truth Headquarters.
Hey, we're all about truth, justice, and the American way here, okay? Which is why we've spanned the globe and pulled the top audio cuts of the day.
You're going to hear little snippets of sound.
Hey, it's time for Punch It Audio.
Presented by First Call Heating and Cooling.
Blazers got the Sacramento Kings tonight, opening night NBA. Damian Lillard, Blazers star, making it clear he doesn't want to leave Portland. He wants to see it through. Punch it.
I'm not leaving Portland. I want to be a part of Chauncey's success. You know what I'm saying? Like I take pride in being a part of his success as a coach. And we developed a great relationship even before he became my coach, and even deeper now that, you know, we sit and talk every day. We talk through text and, you know, on the phone, whatever, every day. Like, I want to be a part of his success. So when I say that, I don't expect all times to be great times. You know, adversity is going to hit. It's going to be some tough times. So if it starts off rocky or if it starts off in a struggle, I wouldn't be happy about it. Nobody would. But I'm not going to jump ship and bail out when that happens. So, I mean, that's an easy thing and a popular thing for people to say, but it's not going to happen.
Damian Lillard says he wants to be part of Chauncey's success. Says he's not leaving Portland. He also said camp hasn't been this tough since his first year in the league. Look, I want to believe him, but I think I've been around too long. I've seen too much. I've heard coaches and players say it too often. When Damian Lillard says,
I'm not leaving Portland,
I want to believe him. In fact, I want to play it over and over.
I'm not leaving Portland.
Says he's not leaving. If he does leave, I think a lot of people are going to be really disappointed in him now. But to this point, has he not conducted himself very professionally in a league where, frankly, there's a shortage of it? Let's celebrate that on opening night. Chauncey Billups talking about training camp. Here he is. Punch it.
Yeah, it was a tough training camp for everybody. You know, I think it reflected in
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Faced Truth.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Faced Truth radio show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Faced Truth radio show. Thanks for listening.